Now, I'd like us to turn, please, to an epistle that Mr. Power was looking at yesterday, Philippians. Philippians, only it's the last chapter I want us to consider, or at least a verse out of it that I would like us to consider. I'm just going to read the verse. It's the verse 19 of Philippians chapter 4. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. In thinking about the prayer meeting tonight and the time we spent in prayer yesterday, I thought it might be profitable for us to be assured by God that our praying yesterday was heard and will be answered. We're not among those who in the world look upon prayer as a sort of a hit or miss thing. You might get an answer, and on the other hand, it's more likely you won't. That is not how prayer is with the people of God when we look at what the Bible has to say. And so this verse came before me, and I want us to consider it. Now, we have in these words the words of Paul, the great man of God. And he's giving us a very clear assurance here. And it's an assurance coming from a man who we could well call an authority on the matter of God and his faithfulness in answering prayer. If anybody knew anything about it, it was the man Paul. So what he has to say in these words, they're worth noticing. That's coming from a human point of view, but let's not forget, of course, that we're looking at the inspired word of God. What Paul says here, he says by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. So it's the voice of Paul, but it's the voice of God that we hear uttering these words in our text. I said that Paul was an authority on prayer, and he indeed is. Even yesterday, while we were praying, I recalled with great comfort a passage in Acts chapter 27. Do look it up. Acts chapter 27, and it's the passage beginning at the verse 21. You have in this chapter one of the great adventures that Paul found himself involved in. He's being taken as a prisoner to Rome. Part of the journey was by sea, and during that voyage they ran into a terrific storm. Had they listened to Paul, they could have avoided the storm, but they didn't. They were anxious to get on with their journey, and it wasn't quite the time of year that they should have been taking such risks, but that's what men are like. Well, the storm overtakes them, and for quite some time they're beset by the storm, and they don't know where they are. They don't even know whether it's day or night. It's so overcast and dark. But then we read in verse 21, after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me, and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. You're going to lose the ship, but nobody will perish with it. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul. Thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. There's so much jammed into those few words. Here's what we do when we're in trouble. We do what Paul did. He prayed. He prayed. He let the rest of them get on with whatever they wanted to do on the ship, and you know how they threw everything overboard that could be thrown overboard in order to lighten the ship. But Paul was praying. Paul was praying. And what he was engaged in worked. What they were engaged in didn't, for they still lost the ship. But Paul was praying that God would have mercy on the souls that were on the ship. And then we notice how when God came to Paul and gave him the message of hope, he gladly shares it with those on the ship and speaks with great confidence. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God. This is the confidence that comes from believing God. Oh, to leave our prayer meetings, and I say it to each one of us, oh, to leave our prayer meetings in that spirit. I believe God. And just as we have prayed, so it will be, so it will be. So we have an expert in this matter of prayer in the person of Paul. And the words that we have in our text, the verse 19 of Philippians chapter 4, will supply us with a few thoughts tonight. First of all, notice, we'll read the text again because we can never read it enough. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. As we come in prayer, we have an assured supply whereby all our needs will be met. Paul says, my God shall supply all your needs. That's a wonderful, wonderful promise. It was on the basis of this and many promises like it that the children's work in Bristol so long ago was managed from day to day, because the one in charge of that work, quite literally, every day came to God for the needs of the children. Oftentimes rising in the morning and not enough in the larder to lay a breakfast down for them, and praying, believing God shall supply all our needs. And God did it. Mueller's testimony is of repeated instances of this happening. And of course, throughout the ages, there's been more than just one Mueller. God has supplied the needs of his people again and again and again. The Bible's filled with instances of it. And Paul can here speak with such confidence. My God shall supply. He shall supply. Now, Paul can speak with this confidence because of the promises that he knew God had given to his people regarding answers to prayer. God has given an undertaking. God has written a contract. And part of the terms of the contract is, I'll answer your prayers. That's part of the contract God has with his people. John chapter 14, the verses 13 and 14. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name. What a word that is. Whatsoever ye shall ask in my name. And that little phrase really implies, whatsoever you ask for the honor of my name, for the glory of my name, for the advancing of my cause. Not your own name, not to fill your own pocket, but whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If we had a bank manager that gave us an undertaking like that, we'd be beating our way to his door. Every time we needed something, we'd be knocking. Remember what you said? Why don't we pray in the fashion that the promises of the Lord Jesus suggests we should pray? 1 John chapter 5 and the verse 14 endorses these wonderful statements. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. That's the equivalent of saying, asking in my name. If you ask according to my will, I will hear you. I will answer you. So Paul was confident and could say to the people in Philippi, my God shall supply all your need, because he was aware of the promises that God had made regarding this matter. Again, he can say this because he was well aware of the power of God to answer prayer. There's not a father or a mother who at some stage in life has said to their offspring, if only I could, son, daughter, I would do it. If I was able, I'd do it. There may have been an occasion of sickness, just a need, but you just hadn't the means of meeting the need. But you said to them, if I could do it, I would. God will never say that. God has power to answer prayer. Ephesians chapter 3, the verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. So that when you have asked as much as you can, there's still an abundance there. There's still an abundance there. Genesis chapter 18 and the verse 14 has that famous question asked. It was asked in the presence of Abraham and Sarah when God promised a child and promised it to folk who were exceedingly old. And his promise provoked unbelief and doubt and a laughing. And the Lord said, is anything too hard for the Lord? There's nothing too hard for the Lord. We don't always believe that. Indeed, I suppose we have to say we rarely believe it. We ask God for answers to prayer, and secretly we say, well, it's unlikely. It's a difficult thing. We can't imagine it ever happening. And we just cancel out our prayer requests by our unbelief. But listen, God has power to answer prayer. Is anything too hard for the Lord? This came to Jeremiah as well. Jeremiah chapter 32, verses 26 and 27. Then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah, saying, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? So Paul was able to speak with such confidence and tell the people that my God shall supply all your need because he has power to answer your prayers. Again, Paul was moved to speak so confidently by the fact that he was well aware of the history of God's responses to the prayers of his people. History shows that there's nothing too hard for the Lord. History shows that God answers prayer. Exodus chapter 6, the verses 5 and 6. And I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage, and I have remembered my covenant. Wherefore, say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgment. That was quite an undertaking. The number of the Israelites, the bondage that they were in, the power and might of Egypt that was determined to hold them. But God said, I'll take them out. And of course we know that he did. There's another instance of the great power of God. Well, we could spend all night reading instances. But here's one that I always have thought upon. Second Chronicles, the chapter 33, verse 11. Wherefore the Lord brought upon them the captain of the host of the king of Assyria, which took Manasseh, the king of Judah, who was very wicked and sinful, took Manasseh among the thorns, and bound him with fetters, and carried him to Babylon. But when he was in affliction, he besought the Lord his God, and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers, and prayed unto him, and he was entreated of him, and heard his supplications, and brought him again to Jerusalem into his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord, he was God. Now if you study the scene there, think of the sins that bound this man Manasseh. He did sins that were so awful, they actually brought the country of Judah down to judgment. He was the cause of the judgment coming upon Judah. If there was a wickedness, Manasseh engaged in the vilest of sins marked that man. And on top of that, he's taken away by the Assyrians into bondage. He's taken away from his kingdom. His kingdom is now in the hands of the Assyrians. But he humbled himself before God. He sought the Lord, and he prayed God would have mercy on him and save him. And he prayed that God would restore him to his kingdom, to his throne. And God did it all. God did it all. And he knew that the Lord, he was God. He knew it. Oh, the history of God answering prayer will cause us to go along with Paul when he says, "My God shall supply all your need." Then, as well as an assured supply suggested here by the words of Paul, let's notice that Paul also refers to an abundant store out of which our prayers are answered. "My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory." That's the measure that God dispenses. You young ones, you may have heard in history that, 70-odd years ago, during the Second World War, there was quite severe rationing in the country. Food was so scarce. The German submarines were attacking ships that were traveling from Canada and America with food, among other things. And they were sinking so many of those ships, there was very little in the shop. Very little. Oh, believe me, Tesco's would have gone bust in a very short time. There was nothing in the store. Oftentimes housewives would have heard a rumor that such a shop had obtained some bread, and there was almost a riot, as the women, anxious to feed their family, were down there wrestling for the food. Great, great shortness. And when you sat down at the table, you sat down to whatever your mother could make out of the very skimpy supply that she was able to obtain. I'm telling you, boys and girls, there was nobody said back then, "I don't like that." Nobody said that. If it was a boiled boot that was put on your plate, you dusted it with salt and pepper and you ate it because you were so hungry. It never quite came to that, but believe me, that's how you looked upon whatever was on the table. You were thankful for it. And families were fed according to the resources that they had access to. But God answers us, not according to a starvation diet, not according to rationing and government limitations, but God answers us according to his riches in glory. That's what we're coming to tonight. When we ask God for anything, we should expect him to supply an answer out of the riches of his glory. Oh, how much we can ask tonight. There was an old saying that used to be heard very often in prayer meetings, and it was, "Ask great things of God and expect great things from God." You can ask as much as you like, because you're going to be supplied out of his riches and glory. God's riches are immeasurable. Who can measure God's riches? There is no end to God's riches. That's what it comes down to. There's no end to God's riches. Psalm 24, verse 1 says, "The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein." All things are God's. All things are God. If you follow Murray McShane's Bible reading calendar, you'll be reading about Ezra and Nehemiah this last little while. And these men, along with a handful of Jews, were seeking to rebuild Jerusalem and rebuild the temple. And you know, by and large, they were doing it with money from modern Iran. It was the great power that existed at that time. And that great empire was helping these Jews, and they gave money. And they wrote out letters, give it to the men of God, and said, "Here, when you're in need of anything, wood or any supply that's needed in the building of the city or the temple, just you go along and show the governor, my representative in that area, this letter, and he'll supply you." God owns everything. He owns that which men think they own. And out of that which men thinks they own, God can supply our needs. Oh, we can laugh, you know, at how God can wonderfully answer prayers and spoil the treasure houses of the enemy. His riches are eternal. In other words, they don't decline. Did you see that company, that building company that has a finger in about every pie in the country, has gone bankrupt? Carillion, I think, is the name of the company. And it's involved in just about every form of activity, education, hospitals, and 1,000 other things. But it's gone bust. thousands of employees, spending a budget of millions and millions and millions and millions. But it's gone, boss. Run out of money. God will never do that. God never suffers from losses. He never suffers from deflation. And God's treasure house, neither moth nor rust can attack. God's riches are eternal. They don't decline. They don't shrink. They are eternal. And thus Paul can say, according to God's riches in glory. God's riches are freely available. Freely available. There's many, many, many millionaires. In fact, there's millionaires living in this country. Farmers. They're millionaires. But they might not have two pennies to rub together. Their money is in the land they own. In the machinery they own. That's where the money is. But they can't get to it oftentimes. And they've got to go to the bank and beg the bank and say, look, I leave the deeds of my property in if you'll give me some money that I can operate with. That never happens to God. God's riches are freely available to him at any time. He can meet our needs out of his riches and glory. And thus you see throughout the Bible how God avails himself of things that further his cause. He reached down into the depths of the sea and he laid hold on a great fish and it served its purpose in the life of Jonah. He humbled Egypt how? By just directing locusts and flies to come. Part of his riches. Part of the resources that he can in a moment lay hands upon. Remember the Lord Jesus when he came into Jerusalem the last time? He sent the disciples off. Go find the colt, the foal of an ass. Bring it to me. No man had ever sat on it. And let me tell you, when you talk about in the Bible the little donkey, don't for a moment think of the donkey you'll see down the road there on the way to Ballymallard, a wee creature that stands hardly much bigger than a Labrador. No, 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 no. The colt, the foal of an ass, in Bible times, was as big as a horse and full of fight and fury. And you didn't fool about with it. You didn't lead it by the nose. But the Lord Jesus sat on it without the slightest difficulty, because that animal was part of his riches. And he was availing himself of it to further his cause. When we pray, God will supply all our needs according to his riches in glory. Then finally look at the appointed source. How do you get at these riches? Is there a door to God's treasure house? Yes, there is. Don't you see it there in the text? But God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by, through Christ Jesus. The Lord Jesus Christ is the means by which God's blessings are imparted to us. When you come to pray, you know, we come to ask the Father in the Savior's name that he might dispense to us our needs by the hand of the Lord Jesus. Sometimes, you know, over the years, the 50 years I have been in prayer meetings, I have listened to people praying, and if God was easily confused, he would be confused. Because one moment they're speaking to the Father, then they're speaking to the Holy Spirit, then they're speaking to the Lord Jesus, and back and forward it goes, and round and round and round. But the Lord never takes us up on that. He knows we're just like children, and like a loving father, he doesn't take us up if we get our grammar wrong or our theology a little wrong. But just take note of this for your own learning. The riches of God's treasure house comes to us through Jesus. Through Jesus. Let me give you an illustration or two of this. Reading from the New Testament. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. See that? He's told us where the treasure is. It's in heaven, in Christ. And that's how we can access it, by going to Jesus in prayer. Colossians chapter 1 verse 19. For it pleased the Father that in him, that is in the Lord Jesus, all fullness dwells. Christ is the container in which all the fullness of God's love and mercy is found. Again, in Colossians chapter 2, the verse 3, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, because in Christ Jesus God has hid all wisdom and knowledge. Colossians chapter 2, the verse 9, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. All the power, the wisdom, the might, the majesty of God is found in Christ, and we have access to it. In Genesis chapter 41, we mentioned Egypt and the bondage. Well, this brings us right to the beginning of that story, right to the time of Joseph. Genesis 41, verse 55, and when all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried to Pharaoh for bread. And Pharaoh said unto all the Egyptians, go unto Joseph, what he saith to you, do. And there you have a picture of how to pray. Pharaoh presents to us a picture of the Father in heaven. And when we come praying, saying, we need, God the Father says, go unto my Son, the Lord Jesus. He'll tell you what to do. He's the one who has the key, says Pharaoh of Joseph. He's the one that has the key to the storehouses. He is the answer. You find a parallel to that in the New Testament in John chapter 2, the verse 5. Speaking of Mary, his mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. You remember the feast at Cana of Galilee? They ran out of wine. What are we going to do? Mary says, whatever he says, you do it. For he is the answer. He is the answer. Oh, folks, as we gather to pray, let's take heart from what we read here. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. The prayers of yesterday, they can all be answered. Let's not doubt them. It is to the Savior we must go. It is his name and his merit that we must plead and rely upon. And if we do, we'll get an answer to our prayer. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts this evening, for Jesus' sake.